Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time now for the GX on Agriculture podcast.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, SARM has launched a campaign to attract young people to join rural municipal councils. We'll hear from SARM President Ray Orb. Saskatchewan feeder cattle prices were on the upswing this past week. Provincial cattle specialist Fonda Froats will join us. Saskatchewan farmer Todd Lewis has moved up in the ranks of the Canadian Federation of Agriculture. We will hear from him as he was at the Canadian Federation of Agriculture annual general meeting in Ottawa this week. And Corteva Agriscience has announced the registration of OnDeck herbicide. We'll hear from Jason Smith, who is the Portfolio Marketing Manager for Cereal Herbicide Crops. All of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of GX on Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers BioMeal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. It's also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, it's mainly sunny here in the Yorkton area right now, and our temperatures are trying to get up there.
Yeah, we should be a little better than yesterday. I mentioned this, I think, Monday, that we'd be heading up. It just wouldn't be any sort of impressive climb. We'd be very, very slowly making our way up as the week went on. And sure enough, we topped Monday by about a half a degree. And I think today we'll go for a full degree, but it's still below normal. Normal high this time of year, now officially up to -3. And we're about 10 degrees shy of that on our best expectation. -12, that is, partly to mostly sunny, though, and as has been the case, not a lot of wind. So the wind chill, now at these temperatures, these minus 20s and high minus teens that we're coming into for the early afternoon, that's still a bit of a wind chill, but it's not a biting wind and psychological wind chill is what I like to look at on these, where it's not into the dangerous range. When you don't have the strong wind, you don't notice the fact that it's still feeling like -25 to -30. Maybe you do. I don't. That's just me. Temperatures tonight drop off to -23, just like the daytimes. We back off a little more or come up a little more at night. And the wind's still pretty light, 10 to 20 at the highest. Most of the time, we're on the lower side of that. I think our best chance for getting in the high end of that wind, 10 to 20, would be later on this afternoon. Then tonight, tomorrow, we're back into the lower side of it. We're in and out of cloud cover, though, for tomorrow. There's plenty of it around. We're just not seeing a solid cloud deck. Looking around at precipitation, there's really nothing. Manitoba, all dry. Saskatchewan almost all dry. Looks like just coming across the Alberta line, there's a little bit of snow. So we've got a decent area of coverage where it's just not snowing. The cloudiness is there, but nothing is falling from it. And we're into that likely through at least Thursday night, maybe early Friday as well. Thursday, we'll keep that trend up. We'll tack on a whopping degree up to -11, the high tomorrow. Then Friday, a little more of a jump, -7. A couple of flurries, though, start to develop on Friday. It's questionable because the moisture is going to be working its way in. We've still, though, got that rather dry air that'll be in place. So the question is, can the moisture overcome the dry air by the time the day is over? And the possibility is, yes. I'll put it at an overwhelming 50-50 on that through the afternoon. Mostly, it's Friday night and Saturday that we're watching for snow. And not only snow, but accumulating snow and quite a gusty breeze. The early indications on the storm, they've been actually pretty consistent from yesterday to today, looking like on the order of 10 centimeters from this system. the bulk of that falling during the day Saturday. The wind, though, is going to be up into the 30 to 50 kilometer per hour range on Saturday. So while the snow is going to certainly accumulate, it'll do a lot of blowing as well, which will lead to more drifting than straight up piling. We're up to minus four, though, on Saturday, so it's not so much a wind chill factor we're concerned with, it's the blowing snow. By the time things wind down, it's flurries on Sunday, temperatures around minus six as we stay mostly cloudy, and that colder air, which looks like it's going to try to drop in from time to time, holds off a bit. We're going to actually more likely stay closer to normal heading into the early part of next week.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour, the Paw is at minus 15 degrees, Swan River minus 19, Dauphin minus 16, Brandon minus 11, Shoal Lake Russell minus 13, Roblin minus 14. Regina is at minus 14 degrees, Saskatoon and Broadview-Mooseman minus 15, Hudson Bay minus 16, Indian Head minus 18, Wynyard Wadena Kelvington minus 19. The Yorkton Melville region has a mainly sunny sky, a north wind at 15 kilometers an hour. 67% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 19 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 27 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of minus 16 degrees and dropped to a low of minus 27 degrees. There was no precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is minus 4 degrees. The normal low is minus 15 degrees. The sun rose in Yorkton at 7:22 this morning, and it will set at 6:39 tonight. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hot spot was Sprague at minus 6 degrees. The cold spot was Thompson at minus 35 degrees. The Saskatchewan hot spot yesterday was Buffalo Narrows at minus 7 degrees. The cold spot was Collins Bay at minus 39 degrees. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. The Saskatchewan Association of Rural Municipalities has launched a campaign to attract young people to join rural municipal councils. President Ray Orb says more young families are calling rural Saskatchewan home, and having more young people on council ensures a healthy rural municipal government.
Well, you know, it's something that's been discussed a lot, you know, around the province and among our SARM board of directors as well. As you know, how do we kind of attract and retain counselors? Well, you know what, we're looking at actually younger counselors. You know, it could be new counselors. You know, we obviously know we need more women involved in politics as well, and that's something we're going to be featuring at our SARM convention next week. So we're kind of wanting to start the discussion about what we can do to attract people, get them more interested in being a rural municipal elected official.
But he knows it won't be easy.
You know what, it's going to take some work. It's going to take a little bit of brainstorming. But I think, you know, a good place to start is obviously in a high school in rural Saskatchewan. I think going there, maybe trade fairs and things like that, but maybe inviting them to a council meeting. Maybe it's just simply inviting some young people to a council meeting and let them know what rural municipal officials are doing and kind of the work that's involved, and, you know, get them interested. And that kind of word, you know what, that spreads really quickly around rural Saskatchewan, because young people are really good at that. You know, they can use the social media, so can we. We can get that word out.
Orb explains the rationale behind it.
We're kind of looking at the demographics out there, and, you know, we've got a lot of older councils. You know what, I'm one of them, and I'm, you know, getting towards the end of my municipal career, and I think most people know that, but I kind of like to, I suppose, leave a kind of a legacy where we can show that we could have younger people and new councils as well that can come onto council. That's the ongoing legacy I think that we need to have in this province, is we need to make sure that we have these rural councils move forward and that they continue to attract people. And that's really, I think, going towards the success of rural Saskatchewan.
he outlines the benefits of being on an RM council.
Well, I think, you know, there are lots of interesting things out there. You know, even being involved with SARM, I think that's really important that rural councillors know what SARM is doing. And through my role as president, you know, we keep sending information out and we keep talking about it. But I think we need the interaction there too, you know, for people to be involved. You know, land use policies, development, economic development in rural Saskatchewan, you know, our ag sector, infrastructure that we need to supply to that ongoing industry that's really driving the economy in rural Saskatchewan. All those things combined, I think, it makes for a pretty interesting, well, it's kind of a future, I think, that we need to look forward to in Saskatchewan.
Orb says there's other advantages to being involved in RM politics, too.
It helps advance the farm policies as well, but there are all kinds of other things, you know, infrastructure, obviously, high-speed internet, you know, the environment and how farmers are contributing to make our environment a lot better, especially the ranching community and all those kind of sectors that kind of go behind that to really push our rural economy. I think it's really an interesting kind of an occupation to be involved with.
And the SARM annual convention starts next week in Saskatoon. Orb outlined some of the highlights.
Well, you know, we'll have the premier talking, and we're obviously going to have dialogue sessions with some of the ministers, the ones that the SARM members really, I think, work with the most. Also, our entire provincial cabinet will be there. Leader of the opposition will be speaking as well. And, you know, we have some good dialogue sessions. We have one on rural health care. I think, going to be really interesting to our members. We're also going to have a session, actually a panel, on what we're talking about now, about attracting new people to rural council. So we've got a pretty jam-packed agenda, that's for sure.
Ray Orb is the president of the Saskatchewan Association of Rural Municipalities. It's time now for the Ag Review portion of our program, and that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
GX94, Ag Review.
U.S. meat industry lobbyists say Washington's proposed new rules governing voluntary product of USA or made in the USA labels would impose the same standard as that country's now-defunct mandatory country of origin labeling law, and frustrate U.S. packers who import Canadian meat or livestock. The U.S. Department of Agriculture and its Food Safety and Inspection Service have announced they plan to publish a new proposed rule on U.S. meat origin labels for a 60-day public comment period. Federal Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau and Trade Minister Mary Ng say Canada remains concerned about any measures that may cause disruptions to the integrated North American livestock supply chains and will closely review the proposed new rules. The ministers say the federal government will also participate in the U.S. rulemaking process to make sure the new rules adhere to Washington's international trade obligations and won't disrupt supply chains. Adama Canada has made its final decision regarding the sale of Lambda Cyalothrin products for the 2023 growing season, deciding to relabel and sell its silencer in Zivada insecticides across Canada. The company says it has come to this decision after several months of consulting with retailers, farmers, and industry organizations on the implications of the Pest Management Regulatory Agency, or PMRA, ruling to change the permitted use of the insecticide. In April of 2021, the PMRA announced a label change that eliminated the approval of Lambda Cy application on crops or crop byproducts that end up as feed. The new label comes into effect for 2023. While Adama is going ahead with sales, Syngenta Canada has decided not to sell Matador in Western Canada, but will continue to offer its Lambda Cy product in Eastern Canada. Lambda Cy insecticides are approved for use on several crops, including canola, and for control of several insect species. After Manitoba-based plant protein processor Merit Functional Foods went into receivership last Wednesday, Manitoba Pulse and Soybean Growers Executive Director Daryl Domitruk said it is not a microcosm of the province's pulse industry. Domatruck says they learned about Merritt's financial situation through the media. He also adds that some Manitoba pea growers delivered contracts to Merritt Foods as it had a smaller acreage requirement, 10,000 acres, compared to Roquette's 120,000. Vancouver-based protein firm Burcon NutriScience, which has a 31.6% stake in Merritt, said Friday it intends to submit a formal proposal to acquire the Merritt business. Domatruck is hopeful a buyer can be found, but time is of the essence. British Columbia is dedicating $200 million toward boosting both the province's food bank system and overall agricultural production and resiliency. Part of the money will be used to enhance programs to strengthen the food supply chain, expand food production from processors, packers, and retailers, and fund climate preparedness measures. The historic investment in BC's food security comes as a direct response to events that occurred in the past few years when flooding, wildfires, and COVID supply chain bottlenecks essentially cut off crucial supply lines in the province. The funding is part of the province's plan to spend BC's massive surplus, estimated last fall at more than $5 billion. The spending also gives agricultural producers an opportunity to grow their businesses while improving climate preparedness and allowing more BC-produced food to be consumed by residents. And the United States has requested formal trade consultations with Mexico over U.S. objections to its southern neighbor's plans to limit imports of genetically modified corn and other agricultural biotechnology products. The U.S. Trade Representative's office announced the request for technical talks after months of informal discussions with Mexican officials over their plans to ban GMO corn for human consumption failed to satisfy U.S. trade officials. The consultations are the first formal step toward a U.S. request for a dispute settlement panel under the Canada-U.S.-Mexico Agreement on Trade that could ultimately lead to retaliatory U.S. tariffs if no resolution is reached. The dispute could further strain U.S.-Mexico relations. U.S. officials say it puts some $5 billion of U.S. corn exports to Mexico at risk and could stifle biotechnology innovation at a time of high food inflation as increasingly severe weather threatens crop production. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Faulkner. It's mainly sunny and minus 19 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at 1 o'clock. Saskatchewan feeder cattle prices were on the upswing this past week. Provincial cattle specialist Fonda Froats says strong demand continues to push up feeder cattle prices.
Saskatchewan feeder prices were all up for the most part over the week. Saskatchewan feeder steer prices were mostly higher compared to the previous week. Prices ranged from $350 to $240 per hundredweight for the 300 to 400 weight category to $236 per hundredweight for the 900 plus pound category. The largest price gains were in the lighter weight categories, with the 300 to 400 weight steers up an average of $940 per hundredweight. The only decline in the steers was in the 900 plus pound weight category, which declined an average of 83 cents per hundredweight. The average weekly prices for Saskatchewan feeder heifers were higher in all of the weight categories for the week of March 3rd. Prices ranged from $288.30 per hundredweight for the 300 to 400 pound weight category to $220.10 per hundredweight for the 800 plus pound category. And it was the 300 to 400 pound heifers that had the largest price increase of $9.80 compared to the previous week.
She outlines the factors pushing up the prices this week.
Well, I think all the stars are aligning, but we're seeing good demand for a smaller supply of feeder cattle coming to market, and feed prices for barley and corn are trending lower, also supporting the feeder market.
Froats provides the marketings for the week.
Saskatchewan feeder cattle volumes reported by Canfax were at 12,200 head sold over the week, and this is up from the previous week, which was at 7,779.
And as for market-ready cattle prices,
the CANFAX price for Alberta fed steers reported on March 3rd was $201.85 per hundredweight, and this was up $3.54 per hundredweight compared to the last reporting on February 24th, which was at $198.31 per hundredweight. And cow prices were up again over the week compared to February 24th, and average D2 cow prices increased $6.20 per hundredweight to average $113.50 per hundredweight for the week, and D3 slaughter cows were up $6 per hundredweight to average $150 per hundredweight. That's $100.50 per hundredweight.
Fonda Froats compiles the weekly market report for the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture. The January 1st StatsCan estimate puts 2.2 million cattle on Saskatchewan farms, down about 0.9% from January of 2022.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for April are trading at 165.42. That's down 55. June live cattle trading at 160.62, up 7. April feeder cattle trading at 210. That's up 142. May feeder cattle trading at 205.97, up 177. April lean hogs are trading at 85.65, up 85. May lean hogs trading at 93.47, up 52. And that's the livestock market conditions. Saskatchewan farmer Todd Lewis has moved up in the ranks of the Canadian Federation of Agriculture. Lewis has been elected to the position of first vice president after serving as second vice president for the past year. Lewis says the new president of the CFA is Ontario farmer Keith Curry. Lewis was at the annual meeting in Ottawa when we spoke to him yesterday.
The executive committee, we have a new member, Pierre Lafrance from Quebec. So the three of us are the executive committee now, Keith Curry, myself, and Pierre. And it really is a partnership. So I think, you know, just going forward with CFA, we want to continue working, you know, towards the betterment of agriculture, of course, and really, you know, spend a lot of time working with other groups. I think we see is there's things that separate us, certainly, but at the same time, there's far more that keeps us together, and it's so important. I think, you know, even yesterday with having all five major party leaders come and speak to a group of farmers, so, you know, really every politician in this town was paying attention to agriculture and what their leaders were saying yesterday. So it's a pretty important thing that we work together and have that bigger and wider voice across Canada. So I think just looking forward to putting contributions from the West, from Saskatchewan, at the board table and at the executive level for CFA.
He then provides his take on the comments made Monday by all of the federal party leaders.
Well, I think not specifically Mr. Trudeau, but also all of the leaders were very well versed on the file. We're all open to questions. All took questions from the floor. They weren't canned questions. They weren't. It was the opportunity for anybody in the room to ask a question. The Prime Minister specifically picked the people himself personally. And same thing, you know, the other leaders were open to anybody coming up to the mic and answering a question. And it really showed their attention they've been paying to agriculture and really the work that the ag critics, you know, and the ag minister have done on behalf of agriculture. It is a major part of the Canadian economy, and certainly yesterday I think we had some confirmation about how important it is at the political level here in Ottawa.
Lewis outlines the Saskatchewan issues he's been taking to the meeting.
Well, we just went through our resolution process. From Saskatchewan specifically, there were some resolutions speaking towards farm transfer, capital gains allowance increases, some technical questions around how to transfer, you know, land at arm's length and so that non-family members can have land transferred and not, or family members that aren't close to a son, like trying to pass on to a nephew or niece, for instance, that some of those rules can be changed and make it easier for farm transfer. Certainly the capital gains part, we've asked for a change from $1 million to $5 million. When you look at the value of farmland, there's a huge tax bill that's going to come as we try and transfer our land to our to the next generation. And that's not, you know, that's why capital gains was put in place. And we've seen such large changes in land value that at the end of the day, the farm, it doesn't really matter what the land is worth. It's not for sale. It's part of the farm. It's part of our business. And existing farms have seen their net worth go up, but at the same time, it's not really valued to the producer in the next generation, because if you don't have the land, you don't have the farm. So it's I think it's just another example of things that we need to take forward to the government. And, you know, between APAS and the CFA and our partners here at CFA, it's, you know, it's important work. And certainly how things work here in Ottawa are similar, certainly different. There's a lot of different paths to try and get our ideas forward and legislation, you know, up into legislation and regulation. And certainly have the staff here at CFA in Ottawa that are based here in Ottawa that are really second to none, and we do a good job for all our members.
That's Todd Lewis of Gray. He's been elected as first vice president of the Canadian Federation of Agriculture. Of course, he is a past president of the Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan.
Commodities update.
Canola futures are trading down across the board this hour. May canola trading at $806.40, down $6.50. July canola trading at $803.10, down $5.20. May Minneapolis wheat trading at $8.38 per bushel, down 14 and 3 quarters of a cent. May Kansas City wheat trading at $8.50, up 1 1/4 cents. May Chicago wheat trading at $6.89 1/4, down 8 3/4 of a cent. May corn trading at $6.27 per bushel, down 7 1/4 cents. May soybeans trading at $15.17 1/4, up 1 3/4 of a cent. May oats trading at $3.47 3/4, up 6 1/4 cents. And that's the commodities update. Corteva AgriScience has announced the registration of OnDeck herbicide. It provides post-emergent weed control for wheat and barley growers in the brown soil zones of Western Canada. Jason Smith is the portfolio marketing manager for cereal herbicide crops.
So OnDeck is a herbicide we got registered earlier this year, and it is a group 27 and 6 herbicide. And why that's important is that we're really targeting that into the brown soil zones for our launch year of 2023, and really specifically targeting kochia. And kochia is a weed that's really kind of a growing concern. And, you know, it's developed a lot of resistance over the years. So most kochia in Western Canada is considered to be group 2 resistant. There's a lot of group 9 resistance. And then there's more, or there's a growing amount of resistance to both Feroxapyr and Dicamba group 4s. So with this product, we have modes of action that that are going to be breaks from some of those resistance pieces. And the other great thing about OnDeck is that we don't have locational restrictions that are common with some of the other group 27 and 6 products that are on the marketplace, or in the marketplace.
He says OnDeck is designed for the southern grain belt.
Yeah, southern Saskatchewan and southern Alberta, again, for 2023. And that's, you know, really, again, driven around that need for rotational flexibility, specifically, you know, lentils, peas are the ones I'm thinking there, canola, but as well. And then, you know, that really tends to be where kochia is a pretty common and troublesome weed.
Smith says kochia's resistance to herbicide has been a growing concern in recent years.
Yeah, I mean, certainly herbicide resistance is something I don't think folks are aware of. I was on an Alberta agriculture or an agronomy update earlier this year, and yeah, Charles Geddes is doing a lot of research around that. And again, highlighted just some of the growth in that resistance. You know, again, specifically, we look at a molecule like Feroxapyr, where there's growing resistance, and there's a very heavy reliance on Feroxapyr as a molecule for kochia control. So again, this is a great break that gives us control of kochia. One of the beautiful things about kochia is that the seed is very short-lived in the soil. So if we're able to, you know, get it under control and keep it tamped down for a couple of years, that really helps to significantly reduce the amount of seed that we have in the soil. And it's going to help producers get on top of that and get control of that weed and, you know, ensure it's not a problem for them on their farms.
But he notes OnDeck doesn't just control kochia.
Yeah, no, we've got a good broadleaf spectrum there, and, you know, we're doing work to continue to add weeds to that that product label. So that'll be really, OnDeck is going to be a great solution option for the wheat and barley growers in Western Canada. And when I say wheat, I mean spring wheat, durum wheat, and winter wheat.
Smith says the herbicide will be available this spring.
We actually haven't finished our production run on the product here, but we will have it in retailers for the 2023 growing season. So, you know, now we've got it registered, we've got allocations, and retailers will be able to know what they've got. We do have limited volume for 2023 because it's an introductory launch year. And so we'll be going out with a limited number of retails, again, very focused in the brown soil zones in southern Saskatchewan and southern Alberta. Again, where, you know, that resistance kochia, or where kochia is very prevalent and where, you know, resistance is a concern.
As for the cost of OnDeck.
So our suggested retail price on OnDeck is $12.75 an acre. That's what we're calling a special introductory price for 2023. And, you know, we do anticipate that we're going to start to see some of the product move into the black soil zones in 2024. So we will have some opportunities for customers to take a look at it during the tour season in 2024 as we start to do more characterization of the performance and get some more use experience with it in the into the black soil zones of Saskatchewan and Manitoba and Alberta.
And Smith had these final comments.
You know, from my perspective, I think overall we're really excited about this. This really helps to broaden out the Corteva portfolio. You know, a lot of our products are systemic actives, and you know, they're great performers, but typically those are going to be herbicides that can go down kind of 3-4 leaf is the entry point, and beyond there. Product like OnDeck gives us a viable option that's very safe on the crop, and we can go in early. And by early, I'm talking one leaf. So this allows us to get in there and get weeds when they're small. You know, this is a little different than some of the other stuff we have from Corteva, and this is a contact herbicide. So we are making the recommendation that customers apply this product at 10 U.S. gallons an acre, because we know that's really the sweet spot as far as getting coverage, which is so critical with contact herbicides.
Jason Smith is the Portfolio Marketing Manager for Cereal Herbicide Crops at Corteva AgriScience. Please stay tuned. Your Farm Bulletin Board is coming up next.
Farm Bulletin Board.
Are you a private landowner who owns 500 acres or more of grazing land? Then it's some people want to hear from you. It's the Saskatchewan Stockgrowers Association. They're asking people to take a survey that will explore understanding, perceptions, and interest in carbon opportunities and ecological goods and services across the Canadian prairies. Responses will be anonymous and grouped to your larger region for protection of privacy, and you will receive $50 as a thank you for your participation in this survey. So you're asked to visit www.fuseconsulting.ca/take-the-survey. And if you want more information, you can just contact the Saskatchewan Stockgrowers Association, because they're the ones sponsoring this survey. Manitoba Agriculture is in the midst of a 45-day consultation period on proposed amendments to the Animal Care Regulation to modernize animal care by incorporating Canada's accredited zoos and aquariums into the regulation. The proposed amendments would recognize the accredited zoos and aquariums accreditation standards of 2022 as the animal welfare standard for zoological facilities in Manitoba. Of course, it is a private charitable organization representing the country's leading zoological parks and aquariums, whose members are committed to the advancement of animal welfare, conservation, science, and education. The amendments to the regulation would also remove detailed reporting requirements for animal markets and assembling stations. These amendments would reduce redundancies in the regulatory framework that is guided by the Animal Care Act. Manitobans are invited to provide feedback on the proposed amendments through the Manitoba Regulatory Consultation Portal. The deadline for submissions is Monday, April 3rd. The East Central Research Foundation, based just outside of Yorkton, is still looking for some help out there. They're looking for a new research assistant or even a co-coordinator that could take the leadership role in a few years. If they're looking for someone with a recent master's student to graduate in agronomy, and if you know of anyone who would be interested in this position, you should email m.hall@parklandcollege.sk.ca. You can also phone Mike Hall at 306-621-6032. So once again, if that's something you might be interested in, working at the Yorkton Research Farm, let them know. And the applications for the Youth Employment and Skills Program are now open in Canada. And if your applications will be open until March 27th, and applications from Indigenous applicants will be prioritized for the 2023-24 program year. Application forms for the program are available through the webpage of the Youth Employment Program. And that's all the time we have for today's Farm Bulletin Board. It's now 1 o'clock. Time to check the GX94 precision weather forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. Partly to mainly sunny, winds east-northeast at 10 to 20, and a high of minus 12 degrees. For tonight, partly cloudy, winds east-northeast at 10 to 20, a low of minus 23. For tomorrow, partly to mainly cloudy, winds east at 10 to 20, a high of minus 11, a low of minus 19. For Friday, a 50% chance of spotty flurries, winds east-southeast at 15 to 25, a high of minus 7. For Saturday, a 60% chance of light snow, a high of minus 4. And Sunday, a 50% chance of early flurries, then cloudy, a high of minus 6. In the Paw, it's minus 15 degrees, Swan River minus 19, Dauphin minus 16, Brandon minus 11, Show Lake Russell minus 13, Roblin and Regina minus 14. Saskatoon and Broadview Mooseman are at minus 15, Hudson Bay minus 16, Indian Head minus 18, Wynyard Wadena Kelvington minus 19. The Yorkton-Melville region has a mainly sunny sky, a north wind at 15 kilometers an hour. 67% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 19 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 27 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.
CJGX Yorkton, a Harvard Media radio station serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.